This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, folks, and hey, Bear. Welcome to the Nateland podcast. Nate Borghetti, Brian Bates, Aaron Weber.
All right.
Okay. Dusty Slay. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It's tomorrow.
This might be my favorite holiday.
And well,
in the given category,
yeah. Might be
one of the few that Dusty believes in.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I think it's a good American holiday, and it's taken a lot of flack for various reasons. But I don't think any of it's valid. I think the Thanksgiving is a good holiday. Some people believe that it was back in that time, they were celebrating a biblical holiday of Sukkot. They think that that's what Thanksgiving turned out to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great holiday.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into it today.
Yeah.
We're getting into the history and everything. Yeah. Abe Lincoln and all that.
I mean, if our food wasn't poison now, it would be much better.
Save it.
Yeah. We pre-recorded this one, so it's,
We're like a month ago. We're time travelers today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all caught up. Aaron's out of jail. He's still no comment, right?
Yeah.
No comment.
He took the Prater silly money and ran.
Yeah.
His lawyer told him no comment.
Yeah. We all noticed his fur jacket right after the day after the Prater silly show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Take it off.
Do people even really buy fur anymore? Yeah. All right. So we're going to start it with your guys' comments. Kara Lee Crow. I mean, she likes Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There should be a Nateland folks-only dating app. I'm 26 years old and single, and I'm tired of having to explain the Nateland lore to men who have never heard of y'all. If I meet a nice guy and he loves the pod, at least I know he's got good taste and a sense of humor. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, you're the resident dating app expert.
Mm-hmm.
On the podcast. I mean, do you think this has legs?
Yeah. I mean, it could be a branch of Nateland Entertainment.
Maybe just start putting yourself out there in the YouTube comments and in the Facebook group. You know, let people, I guess that's what you're doing here.
That's what she's doing. Carolee Crow. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're 26 years old.
Yeah, cast a wide net. Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to this, Carolee Crow.
It's really tough to lose that last name, though. It's such a great name.
It is a great name.
I guess you could just keep it. That's what everybody's doing these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe like stage your kind of middle name. Well, it's like it kind of like is your middle name now.
Carolee Crow Smith.
Yeah.
What would a cool last name be to go with Crow?
Carolee Crow
Bar.
Bar.
Crowbar. Crowbar. Yeah. Yeah.
No, wait. Carolee Crow.
It's a real last
thing. In
Medicine Show.
What'd you say?
I worked with a guy at Outback. His last name was Murder, M-E-R-D-E-R, but pronounced Murder.
Well, Murder would be good.
And a group of crows is called a murder.
Yeah. Crow Murder.
Yeah.
Carolee Crow Murder. look for him. Christian Moscoso. Salvador Dali. I think I said Dali, right?
Yeah. You did.
And I bet you thought I was going to say Daly.
Correct.
Salvador Dali used to invite friends to a restaurant and they would party hard. When it was time to pay, he would write a check, but he would draw something on the back so the art would be worth more than cashing the check. So he basically figured out a loophole to party for free. Would you guys consider that a jerk move or genius? I think if he... I once heard the story about Bill Cosby too, like that he would autograph the check because he knew they wouldn't cash it because they'd rather just keep the autograph.
Whoa.
I'd just cash the check with both of these.
Yeah. Well, you got to think that was a long time ago, and autographs were, I mean, there's no pictures, but whatever. I could see, I would think it's a, the only thing reason I don't think it's a jerk move, because it's like, if he's like, I do it and cash it or don't. I'm just, you know, it's like.
That's their decision.
It's your decision. So it's like, I don't think it's, I understand you would be like, man, just pay him, or maybe draw and then just pay him cash. But, you know, it's like, it would be.
Was the drawing really worth that much though? I mean, did we like, and still, I don't.
You would want to be tipping them at least. Like, I think at least, you know.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I had, you know, I had a couple of those paintings hanging on my wall, or posters, when I was, you know, just out of high school, of course. But was he like wealthy while he was alive from art?
I think he was one of the few painters like that who was well known before he died.
Yeah.
So he had a little bit of sway.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess it could be like, yeah, hang on to this and then see. But, I mean, I would think we would hear about it if it resurfaced.
Mm-hmm. You'd think you'd
so
see some
pay out.
Framed checks somewhere.
Well, and it seems like no one's has shown a framed check.
No, I've never seen a framed check.
I think people probably, I mean, even if it's Salvador Dali.
Oh,
a couple here.
Oh, yeah, wow.
You got a couple here.
That's not a drawing. It's just everybody's sight.
He's got a little bit of a doodle here. It's a melted clock and a crown. And
but is that a check?
That frame looks like it's worth 10 grand.
Yeah, is the check looks like weird.
Yeah. That was a different time. Yeah,
I don't know if that's. I would be willing to. I bet they cashed it, because then there's also like at the time. When was this? What year was this?
When did Salvador Dali live?
Yeah. That check said 1961.
Yeah, he died in 89.
Yeah, so like, you know, so if he's having big parties, and it's like 1960s, I think he's got to go to the right place. I don't think he could do it everywhere.
If he goes to, I don't think Applebee's or something.
He can't go to Fridays and they're like, "Oh, Salvador." He couldn't have come to. If I would have waited on him at Applebee's, I would have been like, "Oh, that guy
showed up at Applebee's."
Yeah,
Western sizzling.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like oh,
Western
hey.
Sizzling. You'd keep the check because you'd go, "This actually might be worth more than his dab."
Oh yeah, yeah, because he really couldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know that, even if he told me that at Applebee's. I'm Salvador Dali. What?
He goes, I did the melted clock pictures. You never seen them?
No.
There you go. No.
Yeah.
You're like, you do dogs playing poker?
Yeah. Yeah. Even if he told me you did that, I would be like.
You guys weren't into these posters when you were like just out of high school, college age?
I went to his museum.
Yeah. I feel like everybody I knew had these posters hanging on their wall.
Mm-hmm.
There was a girl working at the Kickin' Chicken in Charleston. She had the stretched out elephant tattooed on her forearm.
Yeah, I almost would need to see more posters to know.
It's like this. It's all surrealist. It looks like a bad acid trip kind of stuff. Everything's melted. And
I think about that girl a lot, actually.
I don't know if I really know.
Because she was very young and she had the Salvador Dali tattooed on her arm. And I was like, I was really into him when I was like 21.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any of his stuff at my house now.
Like that elephant?
Yeah. But she still has the tattoo.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll show that.
You think she still does right now?
I mean, unless she had it covered up.
Yeah, they can get them covered up now. Yeah. Now they can do all kinds of stuff. Daniel Johnson. Will Nate donate $1,000 to the Boys and Girls Club for every second Dusty goes over an hour at his shows?
Well, that would bankrupt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, that every second. I mean, geez. But.
I didn't even notice it said second.
But yeah, I mean, I support it. I mean, yeah. I mean,
if I want to.
Yeah, if you want to do it.
That's over $2 million.
If he does what?
If he does 34 minutes over.
Which is, what's your record?
How'd you do that?
If you do 90 minutes.
About 32 minutes is what I've done. It's hour and 32 minutes.
How do you
do that? Okay. So that's 1.9 million.
How do you know that is that by saying that? What did you just do?
So I did 32 times 60. That's how many seconds. Yeah. That little asterisk.
Oh.
So 32, so it's 1,920 seconds, and then multiply that by 1,000. add three zeros to it.
Oh,
I think it would be more than that somehow. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Can't trust math.
I would stop the show.
Yeah. No, maybe you're right. But yeah, it would be. Yeah, it'd be a long show.
Yeah. Lauren Marksbury. My husband and I used to use Dave Ramsey's system of keeping cash in an envelope for different budget categories. He brought his fun money envelope to the movie theater and watched in horror as all of the cash in it blew away across the parking lot in a huge gust of wind. Needless to say, we no longer use that method.
I don't think you can blame that method, though.
Yeah, I think you need
to. It's like,
yeah.
What are you doing fanning it out in the parking lot?
Lick the envelope.
Yeah, wait till you get inside. Don't
have it in your pocket.
Don't bring Dave Ramsey into this. Just hang on to your money out there. I just want to state for the record, though, back to Daniel Johnson just real quick. I
but what
am
if it was
consistently
the,
doing an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. What if just it was consistently doing an hour and a half? All right. What if it was fun? The money did have fun. Because if you're money, the money had
somebody
fun.
Got it, and somebody had fun with it.
Yeah. But the money had fun.
The money itself, the cash.
The cash itself had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, but you guys got to hang on to it. For your last name being Marks, you really missed it on this.
Yeah. Well, that's where the Barry comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weinberg 85. On the final episode of this podcast, it will be revealed that breakfast was the hashtag dump Dusty guy this whole time.
Well, that is true.
That's the only way that it would be fun for me.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm getting up that early in the morning to do that every week.
This guy's on it.
Yeah.
He's like one of the first ones every week.
Yeah, I blocked him from all my social media. He started doing it on all my posts, and I go, well. All right, you're gone.
Doing other people's podcast that you were on.
He still does that. I can't stop that.
You can't stop that.
Yeah.
You can ask, but.
Have you ever heard of the dead internet theory?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that just most of the activity, most of the content on the internet is either fake or bots, or basically there's this illusion that there's all this happening, but it's the internet's dead and it's all just. I think there's the whole Nate Land comment. It's all fake and it's all dead, and it's just you.
Oh, just me posting up?
Just you. You've,
That's a lot of posts.
Like I've
never heard
AI
of the dead internet. Like, they just think.
Well, I've heard that, like, if you go to Google and you go to search something, it used to say, like, oh, 1 million results for this.
Yeah.
But then you could scroll as far as you could go and only get to, say, 1,000 results.
Yeah.
You know, you never would get to, there never was that many results.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a theory that suggests the internet has become artificial, filled with bots and automatically generated content that creates the illusion of human engagement and conversation.
Yeah, I definitely would believe that, and especially now with AI and it being fake, and like you're seeing all this stuff, all it's going to do is make you less and less. I think about that even like if I'm looking at Instagram or I'm looking at Twitter, you something, and you're like, it's really pointless.
Yeah.
It's as you go through it, you're like, I'm not even devouring any really news.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
even
just
interested.
People
in this. Yeah.
Like commenting on like where you go, like I don't even. This is not even helpful for me as
person. No one. For no one.
It really is. And even looking at stuff online is like, what do you? That's even hard because you're going, what am I looking up? How do I like? If you want to go find something, and you know, I mean, I know you. We look it up for like quick. I get not saying you wouldn't get rid of it, but it's like, yeah, you know, the smart people are going to be the ones that are still reading books. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have sat down really, yeah. They will be because they're going to be able to sit and really go, well, this is what it said from this. Because you're going to, if you just do all the evidence online, I don't know if you're going to be able to tell what motivation behind, like, where was that story? It's like telephone. So by the time telephone can spread very fast when like one thing comes out and then it can spread, you know.
I can tell you, reading a book in public makes you feel better than everyone real fast.
Depends on the book, but yeah.
I mean, anytime I'm reading it in public, which is not a lot, I go, man, these people are stupid.
You're not even reading. You're just looking around like, yeah, man, look at all these idiots on their phone.
Look how smart I am.
Well, that's where, like, you have a book, too, like, on your phone, like, you know, or a Kindle.
Yeah.
And it's just.
I saw some video, some something, where they were like, that's the most attractive thing a man can do now is just, like, have a book on him.
Yeah.
To women. They're like, oh, my God, that guy reads.
Yeah.
So just keep one in your pocket.
That seems like that was written by a man that reads in public.
Yes, it does.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number. The $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
J.B. Blanton. I've heard Nate mention Circus Olay. Circus Du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil. What is that it?
Cirque du Soleil.
Circus Delay.
Well, it's like Circus. It hasn't quite started yet.
Keep reading the comment.
I've heard Nate mention Circus Delay on at least two episodes now. And it sounds like he's saying Circus Olay. That's exactly what I was saying instead. I feel like I'm being punked at this point, or my ears failing me. Circus Olay. Yeah, I've said that to everybody. What is it? Circa du
Soleil. Cirque du Soleil. I mean, you kind of say it
Cirque
fast.
Du Soleil.
Yeah.
Cirque du Soleil. Yeah, I would say Circus Olay. I've only said Circus Olay.
Like, yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's it mean?
It's like, what are the, it's those shows. Like
no, I mean, what's the, but what's the
what's word the mean?
Word mean?
Yeah.
Circus of the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Soleil.
Circus of the Sun?
That's what it said.
Yeah. Wow.
What do you think it really means?
Yeah. Rachel. When I was 10, I attended a sleepover and we were all sleeping. We were all in our sleeping bags in the basement at 11:30 when the group decided to watch Saturday Night Live. I announced that I wasn't allowed to watch it and went upstairs to sit in their living room by myself. At 1 a.m., I went back downstairs and rejoined the party. I had no idea how weird my behavior was until years later. Rachel, it was not weird. I did it too.
Yeah, Rachel, I think this is, you probably were raised by healthy parents. This is very good. I think you should pass this down to your kids, you know. If Nate's know on, if Nate's on, Nate hosting. Cleans it up. Yeah. Nate cleans it up and it's good. But yeah, be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You saved yourself some filth out here, you know, unless Nate's on it. He cleans it up.
Yeah. Look, Rachel, I did it too. With, yeah, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. We all do stuff.
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you could even sit by yourself for an hour and a half, I don't even know what you did, but the fact that you could do that shows that you're,
yeah,
you know, you're pretty strong.
Yeah.
I had a PE teacher growing up that if you got in trouble, she would make you.
I think you drugged that out.
Did I? PE teacher?
PE. I don't know.
I had a physical education professor growing up.
PE.
Phys ed. She would make you sit in the corner and literally twiddle your thumbs.
Wow.
For the whole hour if you got in trouble.
That's why your grip strength's so good.
I'm just saying it felt like a year.
Yeah.
And another teacher would make you watch the clock. Couldn't take your...
Wow.
You had to really watch
it. I think I could watch the clock. And I mean, I could just...
You would find a way to enjoy it?
Well, I could just get in my own thoughts and just like be gone.
Yeah.
How fast would you have to do the thumbs? Could you just do it like that?
Would you?
I think you'd just
make it tiring? Do it like that.
You no, never, it's. It, I mean, it's not tiring, but it is.
I'm getting tired.
Yeah, it's like. It's tough to do after a while.
You just feel like you're going yourself? Insane.
No. I had friends growing up.
I'm talking about when you're in the corner.
I thought you meant just in general.
No, I mean, I probably would have done that. Yeah, just
one, two,
just,
three, four. Uh-huh. I declare thumb war. Is that what you guys did?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
What if one had to win and then the one that
let's
lost
all
got cut off?
There's some guys...
you immediately let your left hand.
I think my right thumb's got the got
yeah.
The edge.
So you're just I'm no right-handed. Question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys that could play. I would try to play chess against myself sometimes. You know, like you. Make a move, then you walk to the other side of the board, and you make a move. And it's hard to be truly objective.
How many times
about
did you
that?
Walk to where you get to where you just start flipping the board?
Yeah.
How long?
Look, I metaphorically walk to the other side.
Yeah. I'm not yeah. Yeah. You do one walk and then you.
Yeah, you go, I don't got to do that.
You go, there's no real reason for that.
The point of what I was saying, it's hard to really remove yourself from one side.
The objective.
You end up just like almost rooting for one side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's probably what the great chess players can do, like, because it's...
They can completely remove themselves and just like play each move objectively.
Well, it's poking holes in yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Didn't you say your dad could beat like a whole class by himself?
My dad taught a chess class in high school. And he would, every kid had a, he would play the whole class simultaneously and just like make a move, and walk through, just beat everybody.
Wow.
He was really good.
Bro, on the door of each bathroom stall, they should have a timer on the outside. When a person enters, the timer starts, letting everyone know how long it's been occupied by that person. It might be a motivator to get out quicker. I'll
play devil's advocate.
Yeah,
I'm not in on that either.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shame people with.
I just like the flip to let them know, hey, we are waiting. But if
it's because like someone that's in there, sorry.
If you're taking care of business and you're like, you know, in some trouble, you gotta may take time.
Yeah,
I just picture you going in one and you go, I mean, guys.
Come on.
You're like, you have to just go. You know, it's like, all right, so this guy's answer should be, so I guess we all should have good diets.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Or I see you, you have to just stand up and you see the door crack open and then close again to reset.
Just keep starting over.
Just a hand comes out.
Yeah, just, it goes, there's a lot of that happening. Once you realize no one's in the bathroom, you just go, you stand up and reset it and sit back down. And then they hear, you know, your music that you're playing.
What was your proposal for downtown bathrooms?
Well, I just think that, you know, there could be a switch on there Like, you walk in, if all the stalls are full, you could, you know, if you're waiting in line, flip the switch, letting people on the outside know, hey, there are people waiting. It's not to say hurry up.
Let people on the inside know.
But just so on the inside, they know, they know, like, well, there are people waiting, so don't be, you know, checking your emails.
Yeah, but I know, but are you going to flip it off and then feel like, that's the same thing as this. Like, you would feel like in a hurry.
I think the timer,
and it's
though,
weird to know that someone's just right outside that door.
Well, but it's better for the people on the outside. They'll be like, I got to get in there. And you're in there playing, you know,
I know, but I don't
Scrabble.
See how you're against this and then for
well,
that.
Well, the timer on the outside is an indicator to everyone on the outside how long you've been in there. So yeah. That could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you let you know, too, after about 12 minutes, you go, you might want to shut that one down for the day.
Yeah. That guy's been in there 48 minutes.
Yeah.
I always think, because people still knock. I mean, it's like, look, if it's locked, you don't have to knock. Those people drive me insane. The door's locked and someone didn't knock.
But the knock, I think, is to just an indicator, go, hey, there are people out here.
So, serves a dual purpose.
Yeah.
Women don't even knock. Still, did you know that women don't knock? They just look under.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What do you mean look under?
I would
just like just kind of see if there's feet.
Look under to see feet. But the knocking's not the default.
I would do that too. But I mean,
is that true?
That is true.
Yeah.
But you don't stick your whole face under there.
You just do a little peek.
You get down on the floor.
I think I'd have done that before.
I like to go through and push all the doors. Oh, dang, all of these are full.
Make it real weird. I'd rather jump off a building. Janet Robinson, there's a law called Alley's Law that says if a person is denied access to a bathroom in public, if the person says, I can't hold it, they have to let them use it, even if it's for employees only.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. I have done that though, where you go into a place and they go, oh, we don't have a bathroom, and I go, oh, well, what do you guys do? Yeah. You know, like the employee says, we don't have a bathroom.
What do you do when you have to use the bathroom?
Yeah.
What? But is a place, or is it their job to do it? Oh, people with certain medical conditions. Oh, it's so also, now just every so now everybody just knows Allie has IBD.
Yeah, inflammatory bowel disease.
You think when
I don't
they
know if I'd
this,
want this named after
you
me.
Think they, you think when they came out with this, the Allie's like, hey, I wasn't even upset about it. And then they go, no, we're gonna get to the bottom of it. He goes, I had nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it, all right? Just, if you're making a law, that's fine, but I want nothing to do with it. In the newspaper next morning, Allie's Law, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're like, Allie Johnson,
explosive diarrhea. Yeah.
Maybe they spelled it wrong and people were like, if you don't let me do it, I'm going to go in the alley.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, I can't hold it. Yeah, that's really, we don't need to call it that.
Yeah.
No, we're going to. I'm sorry. You have IBD and people have IBD. Be the face of IBD. You go, have it be other stuff.
Yeah. I always think that about those commercials, like constipation commercials. Like, you know, you're an actor or an actress, mm-hmm. and you finally got a gig as a commercial. It probably pays well. But now you're like on a constipation commercial from now on.
Yeah.
Like, you're always like.
And there are way more embarrassing ones, too, than constipation.
I mean, I still do that in Cracker Barrel.
I don't think that's true.
That's not true.
They go hand in hand, though.
You should go for some of those.
Yeah, I'll go out for them.
Yeah, you go. I think you could clean it up.
Yeah.
For what, a constipation ad?
No, just like in general.
Anxiety.
Like whatever. Old
people be like, are you worried?
Yeah, just like any kind of, like, you know, you see this of a guy that takes something? Like, you don't think he would be.
Yeah, unbelievable.
This guy consumes.
There was one, I don't know if I'll get in trouble saying this weekend. There's one where the kid's a DJ, I guess, or he brings a speaker and he's got a computer in the backyard. And then, so I didn't know what it was for. And I was kind of like, because it was like a, it looked like a weird party that his parents threw for him to be a DJ. And I'm like, what is this happening? And I mean, I'm not even kind of looking at the medicine. I don't even know what any of this is. And then, because I enjoy some of the commercials when they are something like this, I kind of just like seeing the actors. I like watching them because it's just whatever's on the left side is lunacy. Whatever they're having to take is the most extreme thing in the world. But then it's like a fun, nice
shopping.
And then they were like, the medicine was for schizophrenia.
Yes.
And you're like, is there a schizophrenia? Would they know to, would they be sitting there? Why, like,
maybe he thought it was a real party. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. But
wait,
I mean,
wait.
But,
I don't think that sounds like there's a narrative to this.
Look up medicine for schizophrenia. I think they're advertising it. And then I thought, who would.
Fan apps or.
No, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a commercial. It's
lithium respiratory. Type of
commercial DJ.
Yeah, they're like, our kid thinks it's a party. We got to get him. This is before.
Coben Fi?
Yeah. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Low motivation.
Okay, so then he takes the medicine so and then he shows up to a party.
No. I've never even seen that front part. So he's skateboard. So I don't know where he's at. So he comes to. Yeah, so then he comes up. I don't know if where he can show it. But then it's like, she comes up to him, and it's like, that feels like it's his, her mom.
Totally. Yeah.
His mom, but he skateboarded, so I guess he doesn't live there. Now he's like a DJ. I guess he's a DJ. He's only got one speaker. And
all the people look, are coming up. Number going, one what
fastest growing schizophrenia treatment. So that's what I mean. So if you're doing schizophrenia treatment, is someone with schizophrenia just watching the Lions game and goes, huh? I'll write that down. Maybe that's what I have. Schizophrenia? Isn't it a little more? Isn't it? I mean, I thought like there's movies about people with schizophrenia. I guess people have it lightly enough that you would just be watching a commercial?
I think everybody's just insane now, so it's like not that big of a deal.
I mean, am I crazy? Is schizophrenia?
You would be watching this thinking, is everybody seeing this? Or
maybe try some Coben Fi.
I guess it's like, well, what else do you want in this commercial for schizophrenia?
I want him on the roof. Want him like, I want him doing different.
From straitjacket to hanging out with people.
I mean, I want it to like, you know, show me his before. He was in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Maybe he turns into a werewolf.
Yeah.
Some reason I have that in my head. But I wouldn't mind seeing that. He's a werewolf. Now he's a regular person. Mm-hmm. And this is for schizophrenia. I think it should be more extreme. Is schizophrenia, you know what? I don't want to be desensitized. Whatever.
Yeah.
Because someone they could have it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong.
And they'll come get you.
Yeah. I'm wrong. But I thought it was more serious than a commercial on TV. Like, that's what I thought schizophrenia was. Like, so I don't, when you see this commercial is for someone to see this and go, oh, yeah, you know what? Let me call my doctor and maybe see if I take this schizophrenia treatment.
I get it. Has the tone as if they're talking about, like, heartburn or something.
Yes.
And you're like, no, well, this is actually way more serious.
That's exactly it.
Right.
That's what I mean. So schizophrenia.
The juxtaposition of a very serious mental illness with a kid DJing like a kickback in some backyard it's pretty.
Yeah, and it's like, he's funny. Like, no motivation, no this, no that. You're like, well, that's not schizophrenia. Like, schizophrenia, I think people are in mental hospital. Like, is it, unless I'm it just wrong be. On, where else can they, what? How low can it get?
I think it's, there are varying degrees.
I think check with your local DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, is that even that girl? What's on the screen? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's the number one fastest growing schizophrenia treatment.
So schizophrenia is getting pretty serious out here, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. What? All right. I don't know how we got in there. Allie's Lowell.
Yeah, from bathroom
access. But I've been wondering that all week. I go, like, what is this?
Who let the homeless guy DJ? Probably saw,
I feel like, did you talk about this for a while?
It's on TV all the time. Yeah,
I bet you, did you talk about this for like half an hour after?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. I was like, I don't know what the, well, I didn't know it was schizophrenia. I was talking about just something else in general that I just enjoyed the commercial because I didn't understand what it was.
And then that popped up at the end.
Yeah, well, the commercial didn't make sense because he's clearly, I would imagine, DJing. He's got one screen and then he's got his computer and so I'd imagine he's being a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're skateboarding. So I guess he still lives at home.
I like that that girl's in it sometimes.
But they skateboard in different ways. And then he comes home to, no, he skateboards to a party.
Yeah. I think he's having trouble managing his symptoms. And okay. He can't, so he can't fulfill his obligations.
But he skateboarded to a party. Yeah. It looks like it's not his party, right? And so then they hired him to be the DJ. So then he's going like, all right, I'm going to be the DJ.
But his mom's there.
She's not
but
real.
His mom shows up.
In his mind, his mom's there.
So maybe that's it.
I don't think it's that deep.
A beautiful
None
mind.
Of this is real.
That's what they should be.
Yeah.
They should be like, when the mom comes up, they should type in, he does not see, no one sees that mom.
He says, imagine what I
that
could
would
be.
Make sense.
I could be social. Yeah. I could be at parties.
Dusty's right.
Yeah.
The mom should be portrayed to us as he does not, only he sees her.
I like that my video's next after the schizophrenia video, though.
But he skates
forward. Well, this is my own messed up algorithm now. Or, yeah, it's just
I'll tell you something they do or are doing in this commercial that I don't mind. The party's in the front yard.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that.
I like
You
that.
Don't see a front yard party
You don't
party
see a front
often.
Yard party. And I like a front yard
like
party.
Like the schizophrenic guy showed up and shook hands with the dog.
I thought of recently they had, I saw a house. Yeah. Yeah, or if the dog understood him.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Like,
dog's the only one really there.
Yeah, the dog is the only one that knows him. It's I saw a house with a pool in the front, and I thought that was a great idea.
Well, was it above ground pool?
No, and it was a nice. Oh, no, it was very nice.
Wow. But, I've seen a front
if you,
yard
if
pool.
You, if you really went, if you had your house set up, and you had a good view, because usually your view is going to be great in the front. You know, you don't, your front porch is awesome. You want to sit out in it. Like, just move everything to the front, and the back could really be more like.
Don't you want a little privacy at the pool, though?
I like the front yard, too, though. I'm with you. James Gregory has a bit on the front porch versus the deck.
Yeah.
The deck ruined everything. When we built the deck, everybody suddenly was not hanging out with each other.
Yeah, anymore. If you're in the front. So I agree that they're throwing a party. And it might be because he's not allowed in the house.
Yeah.
So they go, he goes, well, how am I supposed to get to the back? I can't go through the house. And they go, well, we'll just do it in the front yard.
Yeah.
And
this
was.
You don't want him in the house. We'll invite him to the party, but he's got to come up front.
It's not an improvement across a range of symptoms of positive and negative. Most people taking. They saw no substantial weight gain, but why does he got his backpack and stuff on? And he's like,
he's got all his equipment.
Oh, that's right. But he's at his house, maybe.
He's also homeless.
He's at his house, though. Is it because his mom, unless that's not his mom.
That must not be his mom.
Maybe
his
like
therapist.
It's his aunt. Oh, no, that's his house.
No, I think he's an adult.
So that's his house.
He lives by himself. They're with a roommate.
This makes sense.
He's having trouble managing the symptoms of his mental
illness. And his mom booked him as a DJ.
His mom goes, you want to DJ our cousins, get together.
No, his mom booked him because he's on this, he's got schizophrenia. I don't know if he can work somewhere. And then so she books him. Every Saturday, and he thinks it's a real gig.
I think this commercial is normalizing schizophrenia.
Well, it's a common mental illness.
Brian has taken Cobenify for schizophrenia. So,
if you're listening, go look up Cobenify commercial on YouTube. See what we're talking about.
Or Brian, this is Brian. Oh, is taking it?
Yeah.
Oh, so he is. So maybe, like Brian, I'm not trying to. Yeah, I guess I was just, we've come a long way from what I thought schizophrenia was to mm-hmm. it just being an average, like it just is like on during the Cleveland Bengals game or something. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it seems insane.
Bengals.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
At least, hey, Brian, you're not Allie's Law, so that's something to be proud of.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Kendall Hurst. As a kid, I studied atlases and know the general location of several cities that I've never visited. I enjoy looking out the window during lower altitude flights, looking for landmarks to determine where we are on the flight path. I've never been to the state of Kentucky, but successfully recognized the city of Owensboro from the air. So it seems like all that studying, it's worked once.
Yeah. I just did a corporate gig in Owensboro. That's weird. I've never John heard Augustine. Of Owensboro. And then I just did a corporate there.
Our first guest, John Augustine, mm-hmm. is from Owensboro.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had the worst turbulence in years this weekend where it was like, it was almost like a boat on a lake where it was like, goo-goon, goo-goon. And you just look ahead and you see everybody's head swaying with it. It's pretty jarring. It lasted like almost 10 minutes of that. Ooh. You know?
Wow.
Really makes you think about some stuff.
Yeah.
I've been in where, I mean, you're just douche, douche. Oof,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I was with Jay Flake, slept through the whole thing.
Did he?
Wow.
Yeah, I almost woke him up. I was like, I want you to
experience.
Yeah, you should have to deal with this too.
That's nice of you. I was thinking about other people. He could have just died in his sleep. You want to go? Hey, buddy, we're about to go down.
Got any last words? I mean, cool.
Yeah. Annie Finley. My niece was about 16 years old the first time she flew, and she got the window seat. About an hour into the flight, she asked with all seriousness, where are the lines that separate the states? You know, the ones you see on the map. She genuinely believed that there would be visible lines dividing each state, making it look like a map of the U.S. She is now 26 and remind her of that at least a couple of times each year. That does sound like funny that you would. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see that.
I get how you think that, because there are visible borders for the countries in some parts, right?
No.
Yeah, there's a wall between Mexico and the United States.
Oh, yeah, but I mean...
The Great Wall of China.
But Canada is not.
I mean, there's a visible border in some parts.
Europe didn't have borders on all that stuff. Nah.
I think you still got to like, don't you have to go through something to get to each country, though? You got to go through a gate at least.
I was at Niagara Falls this weekend. Canada's about 100 yards away. It looked like just going into like a parking garage.
Yeah.
It looked pretty easy to get through.
Canada?
Yeah, Canada's just right.
I guess depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
If you're going like through Buffalo, it's pretty serious.
Did you ask to do the barrel thing?
Wait, what?
Ride a barrel over the Niagara Falls?
What are you talking about?
You know people have done that.
No, I don't know.
You don't know people have done that?
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah, they get in a barrel and go over the Niagara Falls.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
Like, and they survived it?
Some.
Yeah, some. Not all.
Not very little, actually.
Okay.
Was it better or worse than you expected?
Well, I didn't bring my passport. I couldn't go to the Canadian side. Everybody said you got to go to the Canadian side because they have the way better view. And so I only really saw it from the side.
Yeah.
And we had limited. But
when you stand close to it, even on that side,
we were still getting misted by it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's one part you can go where you're just kind of right on the edge where it's going over and you're really close to it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty remarkable how powerful that water is. Just
it looks insane, the speed that it's moving off there. But I probably could have walked farther and found a better view, but I was like, I think I get it.
Yeah. The Canadian side is pretty amazing, though. If you ever get that chance.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. People have said that you see it so much on TV that it doesn't seem that amazing, but I don't know. I was there and I was like, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty cynical about everything. And I was like, this is pretty
Have you seen the Grand Canyon?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's how I felt about the Grand Canyon. I bet you feel that way too, where you're like, the pictures don't do it justice. Like,
yeah. But you know what I thought about the Grand Canyon was kind of the opposite because it's like you can only see the scope of what you can see is like, it's hard to, you're seeing one little
favorite
thing.
Favorite quotes from the early days of the pot. You said the Grand Canyon is so big, you almost don't even care because it's so big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like too big to care about.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you fly over it in any commercial flight.
You get a great view of it.
You can then go like, that's nuts, dude. And you can see how big it is. But it's, when you're there, I mean, I still go see it. But it's just, what you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. It's like you're seeing like one part of it. Heather Waldridge. I rewatched Tennessee Kid last night and wondered if Nate ever got his name updated on Delta. It's not on their, not through Delta, but there was a way. Because I like for my flights, we have to have a travel person that books my flight. And so they were able to do it where I never ran into that problem again. And I would still get the points. But on my Delta, Delta was Nathaniel, right? Whichever it was, vice versa. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, No one ever officially came in from Delta and said, we got it. Mm. But I'd always have a lot of Delta flight attendants bring it up.
No, bring up the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Aura frames are the perfect gift when you have somebody in your life and all they want for Christmas is you. Remember that song? You ever heard that song?
Pay for the rights to that?
Well, that's why I sang it amelodically.
Ah.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything.
Clean whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Well, this week is Thanksgiving, and we're talking about Thanksgiving. As I said off the top, something that we all participate in.
Yeah.
So that's rare, right?
Yeah.
And there's some debate about when the first Thanksgiving was.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional story, pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. They... had their first successful corn harvest that the Native Americans showed them how to do. So they celebrated with Thanksgiving 1621, three-day festival, 50 pilgrims, about 90 Native Americans. That's the traditional story. Now,
okay.
St. Augustine, Florida claims that they did it like 60 years earlier. Some other places that claim it, but this is the one that took.
Okay.
Any questions?
It did because it was probably up. It was up near New York.
Yeah, New York gets everything.
This is what
it was, but in Pennsylvania, like that's where everything kind of was. Like was even after this,
it was Jamestown.
So
right?
It's like
Jamestown Colony was the first.
Yeah,
But I'm saying because it was up there, and that's where civilization kind of when it all got going there. So if you look at like when people, you know, most people just came over and went there.
Mm-hmm.
So no one was down here at St. Augustine, Florida. So it's like you're just going to get swallowed up by, you know, everybody's like, well, we're here.
They're small market.
Yeah.
You're a small market.
I think St. Augustine claims to be the oldest city in America.
They do.
Yeah.
This is what I had always, this is kind of what I've come to believe about that.
And not by just age.
Yeah. The earliest pilgrims came over and like, in the first year they came over, they almost starved to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Native Americans saved them. By, you know, I guess still that same sort of thing, teaching them how to grow certain things, mm-hmm. but, you know, brought food.
I think they gave them food directly.
Yeah, brought food to them and saved them.
Yeah.
So they were so thankful that they started to annually kind of celebrate this through their harvest. And, you know, so it started because people really started to hate on Thanksgiving because of things that eventually would happen to Native people. But in the beginning, it was like, it was this beautiful kind of friendship sharing of things.
Mm-hmm. I think about half died from the original pilgrims that came, but.
They all died.
Half eventually. Died.
Yeah, they all died eventually.
I feel like back then, half died always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just year to year.
It was half died.
Yeah.
It really, like, I mean, anything you go do.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob got diarrhea and took his whole family out.
Yeah.
But that's why I like Thanksgiving.
I wonder if people came back from those times, if you brought them back now. They would be remarkable at how long people that their family wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if that would be the one thing they say. Like, you could be like, you could show them the internet, you could show them planes, you could show all this stuff. And they would just be like, the fact that you got to live with your family for 80, 90 years is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were, you know, 20 tops was mm-hmm. Like that. I wonder if that would.
Yeah,
I used to have a joke about that. They'd be like, well, he lived to be 25. He led a good life.
Yeah.
Because it's all about expectations.
Right.
In the Bible, if you're living to be 900, then, oh, man, he died at 650. That's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
So
he had so much more to do.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no turkey on the menu first Thanksgiving. It was venison, duck, goose, oysters, lobster, eel, and fish were likely served.
Mm. Okay.
I don't believe that.
When did turkey get involved?
Why don't you believe that?
Well, most of those things that you listed would be like unclean animals. And so I think that
I feel like eels look pretty clean.
I think that the original pilgrims, I think, would probably eat more biblical diets. Mm. That's just my belief. I got no evidence for it, but
okay.
All of those things other than the deer, I feel like are all unclean animals.
Mm.
Oh. I feel like if they were starving, I feel like push comes to shove. They're just going
to eat. Yeah, but it'd be easier to go get a turkey than an eel.
Yeah. And a lobster. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's
stupid, Aaron.
I'm sorry, guys.
Notre Dame.
I think fishing was also a big part of what the Native Americans showed, though.
Uh-huh. That is true.
But fishing, you know, there's
shocking.
You know,
they didn't even have it figured out.
Trout. There's, you know, all kinds of clean fish.
How dumb were the pilgrims that they never figured any of this out on their own?
I think they wouldn't. I bet they knew how to fish.
How they go, I guess we can't eat here.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, oh, there's fish. They go, we don't have fish.
I mean, if we believe these people sailed all the way across the ocean, I bet they knew how to fish.
I bet they caught fish. Wouldn't they had to catch fish on the way over to eat?
I just think they were ill-prepared for the first real winter and all that, so.
But lobster and eel, they may not have had those before.
Yeah.
It's probably a different way to catch those.
Yeah.
So, I don't know when turkey got involved.
Is lobster only here? They have lobster.
I don't know.
Because lobster, I feel, you know, it's got a French accent in aerial.
They're found in all the world's oceans, but they have the specific species that we're thinking of is concentrated on the Atlantic coast of North America and Europe.
Yeah, so they're in Europe, so they would have had lobster.
European lobster. You got a bunch of other types that I've never heard of. But yeah, I think they have. I just think like you can really get it on our coast.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were eating all that stuff. That's not what I like to believe.
So there was a woman named Sarah Hale, H-A-L-E, and she wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mm. Oh, great song. Mm-hmm. I sing that song to my kids a lot. Mary had a little lamb, little... Okay,
you know the lyrics or the music too? She was a musician?
I don't know. She wrote the song.
Okay.
Which came first?
I don't know that there is really music to it, right?
It's a song.
I just sing it.
Yeah, but I think you just sing it. It's like a cappella.
Yeah.
It would have been a cappella. Maybe they've added music.
You mean the tune? Like the.
Doon, did it.
Yes.
Doon, 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 doon. I think the lyrics first.
The lyrics first. Okay. And then I don't know if pianos were around then.
Yeah. You could still write the notes, guys.
There's
a melody to it.
But they wouldn't write notes from not having a piano. What is she going to write notes? And you go, what's that for? And they go, one day a piano will be invented. And then you can use this for the...
Yeah, we just got to kill some elephants.
Yeah.
Well,
you tell me these people... Yeah, they weren't... You're 0 for 2.
Yeah, you look really dumb, Aaron.
Yeah,
my bad, guys.
Golly, that's the dumbest.
What about Sarah Hale? What'd she do?
Besides writing Mary Had a Little Lamb, she is called the Mother of Thanksgiving because it was originally only celebrated mostly in New England, but she thought everybody should celebrate it. And so she started writing a letter to the president every year for 17 years. Mm. She wrote to Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, Abraham Lincoln. Finally, Abraham Lincoln said, okay, this lady's not going to leave us alone. So let's just do it. And he established Thanksgiving as a national holiday in 1863. It was considered a unifying day after the stress of the Civil War. Oh, the Civil War was still going on. So she is the mother of Thanksgiving. She's the one that just kept badgering them to make it a national holiday. So,
what do you think she's more proud of, that or that Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I mean, those are two pretty great accomplishments.
They are.
In one life.
Mm-hmm. I would say Mary Had a Little Lamb, though. Like the other one, you just were. I mean, still the fact that it still hung on. How did she, ever make money on it? Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Tough to monetize.
She had some novels published. She was a writer, so she made some money from that. I don't know if Mary Had a Little Lamb was copyrighted or anything. She lived to 89 or 90.
Mm.
To 90 years old.
It's based on a true story.
Mary had a little lamb.
I think I heard that somewhere. The lamb followed her to school.
And they killed the kids loved it. They loved to watch it laugh and play.
Oh, yeah?
It made them laugh and play.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So her husband died.
Because it was against the rules to take a lamb to school back then.
This woman's husband died in 1822. She wore black for the rest of her life in perpetual mourning. She died in 1879. So for 77, mm-hmm. or wait, 57 years.
When did she write Mary Had a Little Lamb?
She sounds like a dramatic lady. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. 1830 it was published. So that was...
She wrote it in black.
She did. Yeah. 8 years after her husband. She wrote it in mourning.
I wonder if then they were like... The children were singing it happily, and she goes, it's a sad song.
Is there more to it?
All right.
You think there's more to the original?
Song?
Yeah.
Why does the lamb love Mary so? Mary so, Mary.
This isn't even the version that I'm thinking of right here.
Yeah. Well, now there's a new. No, that's it. Yeah. His fleece was white as snow.
And the teacher turned him out, but he's still... Still, he lingered near. Yeah, I don't know all this.
Yeah, it's probably a much darker story.
I got to get into that. Oh, yeah. I got to get into that Sarah Hale Mary's Lamb. Two other verses to that I don't know about.
Wow.
We're just repeating Little Lamb over and over
when
again.
When was the piano invented?
The piano was invented? Probably. It has predecessors.
Yeah, classical.
There's a harpsichord before. That's where like most of like Mozart and those guys.
That's what they played.
Mozart? A lot of them did. Yeah, they played the harpsichord.
Huh.
So there's no real answer still.
No. Well, this is a lot of it's like
1700s. Things just kind of evolved.
Early 18th
evolved.
Century.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of years.
So the 1700s, is that right?
Earlier before.
Yeah,
that, right?
about right around then things got going.
Yeah.
Forte piano.
Yeah. So like what you think of as a piano, 1700s.
Yeah.
So she probably did write
the
music.
No, I don't think she had music.
Well, it said it was a poem, so maybe it was made into a song later.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of every November.
All right.
And it used to be, go ahead, Dusty.
No, see what you're going
to
say.
It used to be the last Thursday of the month, but...
Sarah Hale's daughter
kept
writing letters.
But that would make it occasionally, you know, occasionally there'd be five Thursdays in a month.
Yeah.
And one year it fell on November 30th, I think, and Franklin D. Roosevelt changed it because it's to give people more time to shop for Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because during the Great Depression, he wanted people to have more time, so he changed the law to say it's
to say get out there and spend that money, guys.
But there was some confusion at first
because
states were practicing two different Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
Some were sticking with the fourth, some doing the fifth. So then Congress passed a law just making it the fourth Thursday.
See, okay. I always thought till recently it was the third Thursday. And I wondered if it was like some Mandela effect that it used to be the third Thursday and then they switched to the fourth, but nobody remembers.
Change in 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I don't think so. I think it's always been the fourth Thursday. All right. So the average number of calories consumed on Thanksgiving is 4,500 calories.
Mm-mm.
Is that a lot?
Is that just the... Yeah. That's putting in some work, for
sure. What are we supposed to take?
2,000.
Okay, so you're doubling it.
Yeah, more than doubling it. Yeah, getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just the first... That's just like... I don't know when y'all do like the big Thanksgiving meal. We always do like early afternoon or like
pre-game.
I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock or something.
Yeah, 2 o'clock. Yeah.
Is that just that meal or does that include all the follow-up?
No, I think it's
all the follow-up.
Probably, I would imagine the whole day.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because I actually think my favorite meals are the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
With all the leftovers there. Mm-hmm. You know, you take some of the ham, make a sandwich out of it.
Yep.
The Slay family used to do a great Thanksgiving. I mean, they really would come together.
What's
and
on
it
the
was,
spread?
Well, Hannah went with me the first time, and she was really blown away by how much food there was. You know, it's turkey dressing, ham, cranberry sauce. You got a bunch of casserole, green bean casserole.
The sides steal the show.
Potatoes, sweet potato casserole. Mm. You got banana pudding, apple pie, pecan pie.
Ooh.
I mean,
pumpkin.
Probably a sweet potato pie.
Okay.
And then it's just so much of it. Everybody brings stuff, and there's cookies, and my Hannah was blown away.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is there like a food element to Canadian Thanksgiving the way that there is for America?
I think it's similar.
Yeah.
But according to her, they were not doing it like we were doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, as everybody gets older, as I've complained about on the podcast before, when the older relatives die, everything gets less good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're losing recipes.
You know exactly. What? You know what Canada celebrates Thanksgiving for?
I don't know.
The day we let them exist?
I think it was when the Prince of Wales' health got better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what I read today. Okay. I've mentioned this fact before, but the day after Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year for plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Brown Thursday or Brown Friday.
Excuse
me.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But it's mainly because people are dumping leftovers, grease, stuff like that down the sink.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what.
Sure.
Yeah.
You go, it depends on the neighborhood.
Yeah. Football started as a traditional Thanksgiving. 1876, Yale and Princeton. Mm. The first NFL game was 1920. That's crazy.
I do love some Thanksgiving football.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Started playing on TV in 1934.
I tell you what's not rigged. The Lions losing every Thanksgiving. They just can't do it.
Did they not win last year?
I don't know. Maybe last year.
They've been good lately. Cowboys began playing on Thanksgiving in 1966. So the Lions been doing it since, 34? Mm-hmm. Cowboys started in 1966 when general manager Tex Graham signed on to play because he saw it got national publicity. And then 2006, I can't believe it's been this long, they added a third NFL game. I feel like that just started.
They go, are you spending time with your family? We got another game for you to watch.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
I think people want stuff to do. You know what the great night for comedy is? The night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's the drunkest night in America.
Yep.
Of the year. That
it's
Wednesday.
It's the busiest
before.
Night of the year for bars. It's Thanksgiving. Yeah. Known as Blackout Wednesday or Drinksgiving.
Drinksgiving.
I like a Blackout Wednesday.
Movie theaters are good too.
Yep.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What about you, Dusty? When you're drinking days, would you go home to Opelika and meet up with the guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a blast. Pretty
crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I didn't even know it was called Blackout Wednesday when I was doing it.
In Springfield, Missouri, they do Wild Turkey Wednesday. It's a tradition where it's a local citywide party. Started at one bar, and now I think it's spread to other places. But it is the busiest. The night before is the busiest night of the year for bars. Also, the day before is the busiest day of the year for grocery stores.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. All the last minute stuff.
Yep.
Getting in there.
There's a lot of Thanksgiving leads a lot of things in the busiest. Malls, Black Friday is the busiest day of the year for malls.
It's important to the economy, important to the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If they got rid of it.
Yeah.
It would not be good.
Well, if they got rid of it, I think you would just go into like the Black Friday stuff and Amazon, like you'd be into, like it'd be purely corporate.
But I think, if you got rid of Thanksgiving, then like Black Friday, I don't know if it can just exist as its own thing.
It's already kind of dying, I think, right?
What is Thanksgiving?
No, Black Friday, the actual physical show.
Well, because it's like online, what is it, Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday, yeah.
Small Business Tuesday.
Yeah, all those days.
Harry Truman is often credited with being the first president to pardon a turkey, but that's actually not true. He was the first to receive a ceremonial turkey, but he had it for dinner.
Oh, really?
John F. Kennedy was the first to let a Thanksgiving turkey go, followed by Richard Nixon, who sent his turkey to a petting zoo.
And now they do it every year.
Now George H.W. Bush made it a turkey pardoning tradition every year.
That's a good idea.
I think they this year kill it.
Trump.
Yeah.
About 50 million Americans tune into Thanksgiving Day parade each year. 3.5 million view it in person.
See, that I don't, I a parade I don't get. I don't, I know people are into it. I've tried. I don't get it as a television.
I don't either.
I think it's like, you know, it can be nice to have on and.
It's just on in the background. You know, there's the, there's Snoopy going by, I guess.
Yeah,
but I think people get into it. Like they.
Well, I think if you were there, you're seeing them. They're so big. It's like being there is like crazy. And then, it's a show. I mean, you know, they have like Fallon's usually all, like there, and like so they go by and do something, and it's like you know the bands come through.
Yeah,
I think it's
bands.
Something that's pleasurable that is on TV that doesn't feel. Like it's wanting something from you.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. Don't they always do a dog show on Thanksgiving too?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it comes on after the parade. But the first large scale balloon in the Thanksgiving Day parade was Felix the cat.
I love Felix the cat.
Felix.
Before that, they were just using zoo animals.
What was Felix the cat? Was it a cartoon?
Yeah.
Thinking of Heathcliff, but I do like Felix.
I was
too.
Thinking of Heathcliff too.
Mm-hmm. What did he do?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's pretty crazy. They were using zoo animals.
Yeah.
Before.
They should go back to that.
Yeah. So then they started doing.
No leashes. Let them run free. running of the zoo animals.
That could be a tradition. Yeah. There's a lot of marathon. There's a lot of races on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Turkey trot.
You do a turkey trot Thanksgiving morning?
No. I think it's like, but it's like then you feel like you get to eat. You get up and then you're like, you feel good.
Yeah. Also, that's just your right as an American to eat. Mm-hmm.
To eat. I know.
You don't need
like,
to justify it physically. You can just, you know.
But Dusty's saying if you turn the animals loose, that would motivate you to run.
Yeah.
Okay, probably.
Yeah. But anyway, so they started doing balloons, but they had no plan for deflating the balloons. So most were simply allowed to float away afterwards.
Hmm. Imagine you just get that landing on your house in Kansas. You're just like, what?
Nobody believes you.
Is that Mickey Mouse?
During the 1993 parade, a ripped up.
I like old timey was a lot of like, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
Like old timey stuff was very much just like, we get it. Everybody's like, that's amazing. And there was never a, what are you going to do with it? And just no one cared.
Yeah.
And I mean, now there's a lot of, everybody's going like, what were we doing with all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I mean, I can see it becomes a problem. But man, what if, even though it was a hard time, it's still freeing time that you could let a balloon go back in the 20s. And I mean, they wouldn't even.
A gigantic balloon.
Yeah. Size of a house.
Yeah.
You can just let it go. And they're like.
And if it did land in your town, that would have been in the paper.
Yeah.
It would have been a big deal.
It would have been fun.
You
would know about it.
Yeah. Be like, oh, Owensboro got Snoopy this year.
I think they should actually.
From the air.
I think they should do that.
Yeah.
Now that would be the Macy's Day Parade should do that. At the end of it, you let it go and you see who gets it.
And if your town gets it, you win money.
Yeah.
There's money in the
A Macy's gift card.
Yeah.
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 I'm actually two stores on board left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like
we
it.
Should do that.
Yeah.
A Nateland parade.
In Manhattan and just see how far it goes.
Yeah. Let's just see where it goes. Parade. See if it makes it. How far would they float?
I mean, it's going to get to Hoboken, maybe.
You think?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go to Owensboro, Kentucky or any of these other cities.
How's.
Maybe if it catches
Balloon
a
Boy,
wind.
That thing went really far.
How far did it go? To another state?
I thought it did.
How we far, can you type in, how far could a Macy's Day?
You may need to go to ChatGPT for this.
Yeah.
I need to go to the dark web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, the parade route is 2.5 miles. That's not what I wanted at all.
If we let it go, if you let it, because they have to hold it down. If you let it go.
Yeah. Okay, a Macy's parade float could not be let go and float away like a helium balloon. The floats are built on truck or tractor chassis and are actively driven along the parade route. They're not airborne for the most part.
Well, let's get them airborne.
Yeah. Let's get some helium in
Let's get some helium in them. Let's get something in them and just set them and let them go. And then they see, you send them off in directions. Like once it hits the last thing, it goes up, you point one that way, one straight, wherever it makes it.
1993 parade, a rip to Woody Woodpecker's hand caused him to slowly deflate, requiring him to be lowered to the ground.
When was that?
1993. Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah.
About it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's funny. Yeah. It was a real thing.
Yeah. The Seinfeld episode where it was like a... Was
yeah,
a
Woody. Is it like a... No, a statue, Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Thing, and they knock it...
Knock it out the window, and it deflates Woody.
Woody?
1997, the Barney balloon was ripped along its abdomen due to strong winds, while Pink Panther had to be stabbed by police in order to be stabilized.
That's the opposite of what you usually hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat in the Hat struck a lamppost at 72nd Street and crumpled to the ground. So 1997 was a tough year for the parade. And
was it real windy?
I didn't say. It must have been, but...
you're a graduate high school. I remember being windy that day.
After that, they instituted size regulations and required all balloons to be no larger than 70 feet high, 78
feet
wide.
That's where you go wrong, man. Yeah. I mean, like, here's why the Macy's Day Parade would be... They need to be gigantic. You need them to be the size of buildings.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're watching it, and you're like, goodness, dude. Like, look at the scale of that
thing. Yeah, when they say how big it can be, well, you're like, well, they'll never get bigger than this.
Yes.
Let it be big.
It needs to be big.
Who cares if they get tore up?
Yeah.
Who cares if you lose a lamppost in the city?
Mm-hmm. That's fun. That adds to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have them be so, they should be so big. So big. Mm. As big as, you know.
Those are huge. It's just that it's in New York City, so.
I know, but throw them. Let us see some context. Throw it in.
Lebanon.
Those buildings are big, but then even go bigger. Mm-hmm. Well, you could go bigger than that. I guess you have to have a lot more ropes holding it down.
But don't worry about it. If it gets away, it gets away.
Yeah, but I thought it can't float. So where's it going to go?
Well, you got to put helium in it, too.
I know, but how does it stay up then?
I think they have helium. I think this was bad information from before. A lot of these have helium.
So they would float.
Yeah.
Because the big one right there with Barney, it's got, mm-hmm. it looks like it's got a lot of ropes. Oh, that's just the picture? Is that?
Yeah, those are ropes holding it down.
Yeah, that's a lot of ropes, which doesn't make it look as good.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, make them, I mean, it should be, I know they're big, but you should have one that is the size of a building. I mean, what if you had one that was half the size of the Empire State Building?
That'd be great.
That might be the only one you need.
Yeah. A Godzilla one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if they did that? They told a story.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Godzilla coming through the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it wrecked things, you'd be like, well, yeah.
Yeah, it was all part of the show.
Yeah.
People died.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's a good show.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS. The list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's RAKUTEN.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny System comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails, where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
50% of households serve red wine with Thanksgiving dinner. Only 10% go with white. The rest do soft drinks, beer, or cocktails.
Yeah.
What do the Webbers do?
I don't know about drink. I did realize later in life that my family does do something weird the way that we serve the food. So my whole life, I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast before.
Okay.
But when we have a family meal or anything, my dad sits at that, whoever the man of the house is, sits at the end of the table and all the food's in front of him and he plates everyone's food for him.
Oh, wow.
So he's standing here, everybody's sitting. He'll make your plate, pass it down to you. He'll make your plate, pass it down to you. And that's how we did every family meal of mine growing up. And that's just, I thought everybody did it like
eat
that.
Every Thanksgiving or every meal?
Every meal that we're at the table. He sits there.
I like that.
He'll make it.
Yeah.
And then I would go to a friend's house and it's just a free for all. Like, there's got everything laid. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And they're like, this is how it's done.
You're like, I want your dad to serve me.
I go, I'd like your dad to sit at the end of the table and make me a plate, please.
Yeah.
And if he wanted seconds, you'd pass your plate back to him and he'd put a little more.
I like that.
It's bizarre.
Another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
But I asked, you know.
I want to start doing that with my family now.
That's how my dad was raised. My grandfather would do the same thing. He'd sit, and I think it's just, I don't know why it started. I can't think of a practical reason why this would benefit anybody.
Yeah.
But it's just the way that.
It shows the hierarchy of the family.
Well, it does do that.
Yeah, it says.
And you want to let the family know.
Yeah.
It's a. Yeah, you want them to know, don't forget who's in charge.
Yeah, the head of the household.
This meal that your mom made,
yeah,
I'm in control of it at the end of the table. Yeah.
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 What's your grandfather's name?
Faustin Neff Weber.
Neff?
And then Albert Mayhem. My two grandfathers, yeah.
Like the Mayhem on the commercial?
The Mayhem Man.
Mayhem. That's my mom's maiden name.
Mayhem.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to give that out.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's my security question.
I mean, that's.
I was also born at Baptist Hospital in Montgomery. Yeah. First pet name was Rocket.
I was born at Baptist here
in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. So was he? Weren't you?
Mm-mm.
No. Yeah. Oh, you were born in a stable. I was in a nativity scene. You were like right on the cusp where they go, no, we had doctors, but we still did it in the barn. It wasn't
house
like,
calls.
It didn't all the way flip over. Like they were still.
House calls?
Yeah.
They delivered.
Yeah.
Your family, you didn't have alcohol there at Thanksgiving, did you? We didn't either.
We didn't either.
No.
We do sweet tea.
Yeah, we were all Baptist.
Yeah.
We're Catholic. We got after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only male turkeys gobble. Female turkeys cackle.
A cackle?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. All right. That's where we're at in the show. 60% of Americans say they'd rather do anything other than think about what they're grateful for on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yep.
That shows why
we're. Do you do anything like that at your friend? Do you ever do go around, say something you're thankful for?
I don't think.
Do you like that kind of stuff?
I don't. I like that stuff. We're very grateful family,
mm-hmm.
but I think tradition stuff like that is something that we're not. We don't. I don't think anybody was really raised that in our family.
You can start it now, dude. You're in control now.
You're exactly right.
How often do you think about that as a parent? Like traditions and stuff like that, and the responsibility you have to start that stuff.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, look at I always think about that stuff being stuff being passed down. We ain't got nothing that's ever been passed down. Like stuff just doesn't. There's no watch. There's no. I have a joke, and I always tried to make it. I forget where it is. I might still be able to do it. Actually in a spot. Cause it's like, you know, you're like, well, these were my this and that. And you're like, I just don't think we really had that. I mean, you know, my dad's upbringing was like, you know, pretty rough. So it's like, it was just a lot of those traditions and that kind of stuff wasn't there. And so, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting some, I mean, maybe we had something I forgot, but it's, I don't know if we really did. And then Where Laura's family, I think, had a little, they had more of that kind of stuff.
You don't do any of it?
No, I think I would feel weird about it for some reason, and that's me. Yeah. Like, maybe I should, but it's like my person, like, I don't know, I would feel like, you know, but I'm very grateful.
Do you carve the turkey?
No. No, I don't do any. No, I don't do. I don't like turkey. No, but they do it.
Yeah.
but I don't, you know, it's, yeah, there's not really a good, I don't think it's a, you know, I'm trying to think we, you know, I mean, like Christmas, we had the, you would get, you know, mm-hmm. Santa brings us three presents, and mm-hmm. then the rest are wrapped.
We don't have any traditions either.
Yeah, I don't think it was just, it was Thanksgiving. You'd have, we have everybody over now. I think now maybe we do. I guess everybody comes to our house and
you host.
We host, and you know, it's like, I don't know what kind of space did people even have to do this stuff. I don't, like, no one had a house that was like, if we at Thanksgiving at someone's house. They were all very small houses.
You said a joke about that.
Yeah, what was it?
Did you? I don't know if you.
Oh, I said something about them.
Your parents downsize, but still want to host the holiday.
Yeah.
The car.
So the tables are like snaking through the hallway.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think we, in our families growing up, we ever had like a house that could host everybody. It would be, if you did it, it's like half of the people are eating outside, half are in a garage. Or somewhere, whatever. Everybody's kind of broken up. So it's mm-hmm. not this proper, like, it's already, there is no, the tradition is just we're all together.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's not a big table that we're sitting at and we all sit down mm-hmm. and we're all talking. It's like, it's all just kind of like chaotic.
Yeah.
But we're all in the same house.
Okay. Yeah.
If there's like a big family.
Yeah, that's nice.
What tradition will you institute with Olive?
Oh, a lot. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be very regimented, zero fun.
You'll make her carve the pump.
Yeah, I'll make her. I'll make her do all the work, do the dishes.
Will you do it so she'll know you're in charge?
I think she's.
Because I think that's what I like.
Think Lucy's
doing
it.
Yeah, I'm into doing it.
Yeah, to let the family know, because you feel they. If
they don't get it.
What if there's a little uprising? You feel an uprising happen?
Oh yeah.
How about in your family? Anytime you feel there's an uprising. You know, there's a little clap back when you serve dinner that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go, listen, if you want more, you come to me.
That's right.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep talking like that. You're in a small portion of whatever. Yeah.
The problem is the, you know, kids, they don't want to eat what we're cooking. So they're like, great.
Yeah.
What are you cooking?
Well, we just, you know, we cook, my wife cooks great meals, but you know, kids, they're like, I want Cheerios, or, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I want pizza.
You should serve lamb and then sing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
I should.
While you're cooking.
Well, you know, a tradition
real slow
would be, I think sometimes it could be like you'd want McDonald's like that night or something. Like, it's like you have Thanksgiving.
That's a Nate tradition.
Yeah, that's a me tradition. At night, you're like, I just want some McDonald's. Or maybe it's
Thanksgiving night or the next day.
Maybe the next day, but it could. Maybe it's the next day. Because you're like, after you have like two full days of just like all this kind of like real food, you're like, you know, I want some McDonald's.
I haven't checked in with you guys in a while on this. You guys are still into McDonald's pretty hard?
Yeah, I've been. Quite often.
I haven't eaten there a while, but yeah, I still like what they're doing.
Still into it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been there this week.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet.
This weekend on the road.
Yeah, I've eaten. Yeah.
What'd you get when you were there?
Number one, no onions.
I got the number seven.
What's a number one?
Big Mac meal.
What's a number seven?
Two cheeseburger meal.
Oh, okay.
It used to be a number nine.
Oh, okay.
They bumped it down to seven.
Yeah, still it's a nine. I had that recently.
I watched a TikTok about a guy who he was just holding a hamburger. He said, I've had this for 11 months. This is a McDonald's burger I've had for 11 months. He was just, it wasn't in a case.
Yeah.
He's just holding it.
Believed him, though?
And what? And like it's still
preserved? It still totally looks the same, yeah.
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 No mold.
That just means they're killing it. That's how good it is, dude.
Yeah.
I think we eat it with the understanding that we know that it's not good. Yeah. It's not good for you.
I just like to check in with you guys.
Yeah.
Are you not eating anything bad?
Well, I try not to, but
yeah.
McDonald's in particular, you just feel, you know, maybe, you know.
They're the one that's not good?
Well, I don't eat Burger King or Wendy's or.
I had Burger King today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think Chick-fil-A, I mean, I've said this before, I even think it's gone downhill. A lot of people disagree, but I still think it tastes good. But.
Their pretzel bun thing is unreal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really good. Pretzel bun sandwich.
I said I like Steak and Shake burgers on here one time, and I got some pretty bad criticism from a guy. But
from a random guy?
Yeah. But I think
that. But if you eat great. Clean,
yeah.
So you eat pretty clean?
I try to, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be insensitive. How are you not shredded right now?
Well, I look all right. Yeah, I look all right.
I do. I know. Yeah, I do.
I mean, I'm sitting down in a chair.
Yeah. But I would think.
Take your shirt off.
But I'm saying if you would be shredded.
Well, you got to be, you know, there's a good bit of exercise that comes in with being shredded.
Yeah.
Do you weight lift or anything like that?
I lift a little weights.
Okay.
I do a little cardio.
Yeah.
On a treadmill?
Yeah.
God, you got to get out and start grounding.
Well, I do ground, but yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I quit eating bread. I've not had bread in about over a month.
How's it feel?
Which
it
I can see. Great. I feel like I can see that you're.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels great.
I'm looking, yeah.
You can see what? That he hasn't had bread?
Well, maybe I'm seeing him build now. If I look at him more in his face, like I can see it.
I did have a fried, you know, I have some, you know, I go, I'm still out and about.
You're still in the green room of the night.
Yeah.
You're
and
still
I had,
life,
I had a chicken finger over in the green room. I told Abigail
shame on you.
That I'm not eating bread. Yeah. And then I ate a chicken finger. She goes, does that not count as bread? Because it was fried. And I go, well, technically, but, you know, I've not had a sandwich in a month.
Now we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Here. Mm-hmm.
She really came at me.
So
I was like, what are we, married?
So you're.
We're just the Borghettis. We just.
Yeah.
We're what you say, we go, but I thought.
Yeah.
Because we take it as you judging us.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. I take it that way.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. So I take it that way. And then you go, well, yeah, you chicken finger. And then so I do take it like you're trying to say something.
I think the Bible says something like, don't judge lest you be judged by others. So when I'm judging, I expect it in return.
Yeah.
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 That is a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
So the Bible does is like, look, judge. Because then even God, when you go, but they judge me, and he goes, well, you can do that if they judge you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, if you're going to be doing it to other people, expect mm-hmm. it back at you.
Right.
So your wife's Canadian, so Thanksgiving, where you go, is probably not an issue.
No. It's hard, different for me. I got divorced, parents, and then I got other family members that I hang out with that don't necessarily hang out with each other. So I try to accommodate. My whole life growing up, it was two Thanksgivings.
Yeah.
I would have Thanksgiving with my dad. A lot of times we'd do Thanksgiving the day before, or I'd do Thanksgiving with my dad and then go to my mom's, and we would have kind of a nighttime Thanksgiving. Oh,
mm-hmm. Two Thanksgivings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. What do y'all do?
Other than the family being broken.
It wasn't bad.
Do y'all alternate parents?
Being married throws a wrench in everything, because now you got her families. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. two families to juggle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my immediate family and then my two extended families. So there's like six different possibilities or five different.
Oh, because grandparents are still in the equation?
Yeah, well, two different.
I hadn't had to worry about that a long time.
Just like mom's family, dad's family, you know? And then Lucy's mom's family and Lucy's dad's family. Uh-huh. And then just my immediate family. That's like five different options.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd spend it by yourself. We're doing my immediate family this year.
Yeah.
But then you got to go like, well, the next year you do it there.
Yeah.
But that's what you do. You just rotate. I want to eventually just be like.
Everyone come to me every year.
Yeah. Even if it's your family.
You go,
yeah. Like you bring your family over here. We just have a massive amount of people.
This is sponsored by Nateland.
Yes.
This Thanksgiving sponsored
that's
by
what
Nate
I would want to do.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. I would like it.
Yeah.
Just to
like
take
it.
All the whatever.
Take
just,
all the whatever out. Everybody gets to see everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody come over.
At the compound, dude.
Yeah.
Actually, it sounds like the dream.
I almost had that happen. It was 2021, and, you know, things are still a little shaky, and we had just had a baby, and I had my dad agreed to come with his family, my mom, my brother-in-law, who doesn't really get along with a lot of my family. They had all agreed to come. But we had this brand new little baby, and we were scared to get her sick. So we go, hey, listen, guys, if anybody is sick, you know, maybe don't come.
Mask up.
And then, no, but but everybody was like, oh, I'm sick. Oh, and I was like, man. Oh, they just used it as a way to get
out.
Yeah, they go, oh, I'm sick.
So you're like, no one wanted it.
Yeah.
But you thought people, you thought like they wanted it.
Yeah.
And where would they be driving from?
All from Alabama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it would be a big, you know, a big family group.
It'd be great.
This will be awesome.
Yeah.
But I did take my dad to my sister's Thanksgiving, which is, it's not her dad. And I thought that would be fun because my mom was there. I thought, well, this will be cool. But it was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
You should have something at the cabin.
I should.
The first, the sleigh Thanksgiving. You could have a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Kill a turkey on side.
You have a sleigh where they just all get to meet each other, you know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, now who's your dad? You go, well, it's just a lot of that. just looking around for.
All right. Well, we can wrap it up.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
This was great. Do you guys
see ya?
Do you guys want to do some dates? I'd love to. I got a date after.
No, no, do it.
Yeah, I got a date after Thanksgiving. I'll be, you know.
I'll go. I got a lot of Christmas parties I'm doing, but December 26th and 27th, I am at Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. It's a great club. You guys should try it. Nobody's giving me love here.
Yeah.
I'm doing it the week.
Skyline's great.
Yeah. Skyline is great.
The week
great.
Before you.
We've said that, but we've talked about Skyline a lot. Yeah, but it is a great club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just got random ones in. Oh, if you want to go.
I want to go next weekend. I'm in, I've never done this club, but I've heard about it. It's Comics Comedy Club at the Mohegan Sun.
I've done it. It's great.
Uncasville or Uncasville. I don't know how to say it. Connecticut. And then for the
it's
first
been around
time.
For a long time. It's a fun one.
I'm excited about that one. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday, this is a big show for me because I've never done stand up in Philadelphia. I'm doing the Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
All right.
When?
Coming out. That's December 7th.
Hmm. Another
Sunday
great
night.
Club. That's a great Helium.
So that'll be a fun
original.
Weekend. Come on out and see me.
You remember when I did it and the Eagles game went to overtime?
Yeah. I think it's a bye or something with the – there's not an Eagles game.
That's good.
Oh, great.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a few random ones. I'm going to be in Mexico on December 6th with like a bunch of bands, Blackberry Smoke, a few other bands. Should be very fun. I wish I had more details, but it's on my website. Okay. It's at Dream Sapphire Resort and Spa.
Sounds
and then
awesome.
I got December 12th, I'm at a casino in Dubuque, Iowa. I got a show at Zany's on the 16th. The 26th, the day after Christmas, I'm in Pocolo, Oklahoma.
Pocolo.
At a casino. First of the year, Naples, Florida. Off the hook.
Boom.
Boom.
Happy Thanksgiving, dude.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful for this podcast, dude. I'm thankful for all the listeners.
Me too.
Thankful for all of you that listen and all that. And
I'm mainly thankful that Vanderbilt's doing so well in football.
Well,
in a real unrigged league.
Yep.
That was the other episode, Dusty. Who knows now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are thankful for you guys. As we said, we are not owed this from you. So thank you for listening. All right. We love you. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. All right. Bye.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.